I have shared with you, and I ask for your continual prayer as we have on Keokuk Station is the Book of Numbers. On the 1440 in Quincy is the Book of Exodus. On John, we're in the Gospel of John over Carthage at 8:30, and then we're doing the Book of Revelation on 105 at 8:30. And so please keep all those in prayer. And it is as we do the different studies, but I have never preached from one and did the Bible study from the other in the same book. And it has really been a blessing for me to be teaching out of the first chapter and preaching out of the 19th chapter all at the same time. And so it is a wonderful, precious word that we have. Revelation chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's end with a reading there, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we have the wonderful opportunity to come together. We are a family as born-again believers. And Father, if there are folks here that do not know you as their Savior, they may question these scripture verses, but Father, as born-again believers, we all possess the Holy Spirit within our hearts as he teaches us your precious word. And so today, as we cover these verses of Scripture, your precious word, just guide and lead us through it. Tell us the truth that you would have us to learn today to apply to our life, to prepare us for tomorrow, if tomorrow will come. With the conditions of the world today, Father, we know that your return can be any second, any minute. And so we need to be ready. We need to be looking for your return, excited about your return. But until then, we need to be busy, very busy, working, taking out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, growing believers so that they can take out the word of God and reach this lost and dying world for you before it's too late. Please now guide and lead us through this word today. Speak to our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The heavens opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. We spent almost all last week with that verse of Scripture, and it comes, and not only do we find that he is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Too many today, in too many weak churches, they preach the love of God, and they don't teach or preach any form of judgment. And judgment is coming, and judgment is certain. And we need to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior if we expect to miss this judgment that is here. This, again, is a judgment that comes upon this earth. It is at the close of the 7 years of tribulation. The church has been raptured, and the tribulation has been underway now for 7 years, and it's coming to the close of this time. And so now that we look at this and have that timeline in place for you, we find that at the very close, something wonderful and great happens, and that is the heavens are opened, and here is the white horse, and the one that sits upon that white horse we know is none other than the Lord Jesus. What a glorious day it's going to be when he comes. And we know that we have read this verse of Scripture, these verses, for a couple of weeks now. And so we know that he does not come alone, but we come with him. All believers in Jesus Christ will be with him as we come to bring an end to evil here upon earth and set up his kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. And so what a wonderful day that will be. And so now we look faithful and true, and in righteousness he that judge and make war. And the 12th verse tells us, and his eyes were, and that word as we can take out there because it is, his eyes were a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And again, in review from last week, his eyes of a flame of fire. Nothing shall escape our Lord. His vision is perfect. His mind is perfect, and nothing will miss. He will bring evil to an end, and he will do it with his righteous judgment. And a flame of fire, all-seeing eyes of this great one, our Lord Jesus, that's on this white horse as he comes. Many crowns, we talked about, is really diadems, and it's the absolute supreme authority of our Lord. Absolute supreme authority. And through the scripture, back in the 12th verse, it says that the dragon had 7 diadems, and it says that the beast had 10. But here the scripture says many diadems. He is the ultimate. Yes, that old dragon, and yes, that old beast had power, had great power, but nothing in comparison with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is all-powerful and all-knowing. The last part of that verse, and he hath a name written that no man knew but he himself. And we talked about the greatness of our Lord. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. How can we ever see a name or speak a name of someone so powerful? Only God himself, God the Father, can know that name, that precious name. And we're not given it here. We have a lot of things. We have faithful and true. We have King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there's a special precious name that is between God the Father and God the Son because of all of his power and strength. On to verse 13. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This blood, you first would think that each time that we see we something like this, we would think it's the blood of the Lord Jesus. But it's not in this case. This is the blood of the enemy. And I want to show you that. And as we go to Isaiah chapter 63, I believe that you're going to see, because we confirm Scripture with Scripture. Go with me to Isaiah 63. We're going to read the first 4 verses. If you have any cross references at the top there, at chapter 63, you will have Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 through 22, and I would ask you to read that this afternoon because it's a powerful verse of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 through 22, and then you'll also see a reference there of Revelation 19, 11 through 21, which is exactly where we are back in the book of Revelation. And so now, verse 1 of chapter Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom, with dyed garments of Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? Verse 3, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine own anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Look at that third verse. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. Now, let's go back. And again, I want you to, this afternoon, read Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10 through 22. We're coming back now to this 13th verse of Revelation 19, 13. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This one, God, the Lord Jesus, as he comes on this white steed, as he comes back to earth, we find that the first time that he come in a very humble form, riding upon a donkey, as he came into Jerusalem. But this second time, he is riding on a great white charger, and he is not coming to seek and to save those that are lost. He's coming to bring judgment. Judgment upon evil. Judgment upon the Antichrist and all that followed the Antichrist. Judgment is coming. He will reign until all of his enemies have become his footstool. And he will. Again, liberals preach the love of God. And God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That we are of the time period of the whosoever. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How easy, how simple can that be? The Holy Spirit convicts your heart. And upon that conviction, you have a choice to accept or reject the Lord Jesus. But our God is also a consuming fire. And now we're to the time of his consuming fire. And we don't want to miss that. The world has ignored that. I love that section of Scripture at the end of verse 18. And his name is called the Word of God. God has chosen John to record for us this precious book, the book of Revelation. He is the only one, and we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. There are eight writers of the New Testament. And out of those eight, John is the only one that speaks of our Lord in the name of the Word of God. And I want you to go back with me to the book of John, John chapter 1. These are very familiar verses of Scripture to you, but I really would like you to go back there with me so we can see them. Because we're going to look at several verses here all the way through to see when John says the Word of God, what he means. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know and jump many times down to verse 14, because we see there, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But let's look at the second verse of chapter 1 of John. The same was in the beginning with God, his eternal. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. All things were made by him. What precious, precious verses of Scripture to know our Lord Jesus. The Word. He is the Word. The words of Christ are the absolute expression of what he is. So when you look to the Word of God, and we study the Word of God, and we look to the truths, and this morning in Sunday school, teaching teachers, teaching leaders And I ask the question, if you have studied a book in the past, made several pages of notes, and you're going to preach that same text again or teach it to a class, what's the first thing that you would do? A few years have passed, and so your memory doesn't let you remember everything about it. So what's the first thing that you would do? Well, the suggestion was to go back and read your old notes. Wrong. Go to the Word of God. Always go to the Word of God first. Always look to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. The Word of God, when your eyes are upon the Word and you're reading the Word, and we're to hear. And so I think that's the reason God made me in such a manner. And Suze can't sit and read at the same time that I do, because I read out loud. And I read quietly, but I speak it, and so it comes around and goes in my ear. See, that way I can understand it. So it's the only way that I can communicate. But the first thing that we want to do is go to some commentary, or we want to read our old notes and just go from there. No, go to the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart anew, and it may bring you right to the same place. And you may make the same comments you made the first time. But please always go to the Word of God first, because that's where the power and the strength is. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Savior. The Word of God has returned as judge. And that's where we find it right now here in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 13. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, his name is called the Word of God. And I believe that's the blood of the enemies, because it back in Isaiah, it clearly spoke of that. Scripture confirms Scripture. The enemy refuses to surrender. So we find right here the Word of God in action, because the enemy has been given ample opportunity to surrender and choose Jesus as their Savior. But they have rejected that. And so upon that rejection, upon the refusal to surrender, the Word of God goes into action, and he will be king of this earth. The 14th verse, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine and linen and white and clean. It appears to be the heavenly attire, this beautiful bride of Christ. Go back with me to Jude, if you would, please. Don't get too carried away. It's not far away. And it's not very big. Let me help you. Jude, Revelation. Jude, chapter 5. I want to see if anybody's listening. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, and the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Look at verse 14, Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. And then the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. And I want you to see and not miss the lamb that was made ready back in the 7th and 8th verse, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. We are returning with our Lord. He will take us out of this time, and then we will be allowed and come back with Him. What a glorious time. Can you see that as we have watched these mighty thunder clouds as they've moved through the last couple of days? And we noticed coming to church this morning that there were dark clouds to the west, dark clouds to the east, and there was one lone little tiny cloud wandering around. I don't know who he got separated from, the east or the west, but he was all by his lonesome out there. And you look up into the heavens, can you imagine seeing this, what appears to be a white cloud? And the closer they come, you'll recognize and see that it's the Lord Jesus. And behind Him will be us, you and I, believers in Jesus Christ. What a glorious day, what a wonderful day that will be. We look at the weapons now that are being prepared. Will we need to arm ourselves with guns or with knives or with swords? I don't think so. Revelation 19:15, out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. The only weapon this army holds is said to be one sharp sword. And we know that that is the Word of God. The armies have no weapons. We have no need of weapons. The battle is the Lord's. And out of His mouth will go the words that will smite all enemies. He will search them out with the eyes as a flame of fire it will be. And He will speak, and the blood will run bridle deep. It will come that quick. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 11. I hope you're able to write these verses down, because they're verses of to look up again and confirm what's coming. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He shall slay the wicked. That was prophesied 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. So we're to 2,700 years ago, but His word is true. Look with me to John chapter 18. If you question that Jesus is powerful enough to do this, look with me to John chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. They come to arrest the Lord Jesus in the garden, and they brought great armies, as if that would hold Him if He chooses not to go. John 18, verse 5, and they answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am He. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. And as soon then as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground. Voice of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus wants to use His power in that manner of judgment, all He has to do is speak. We need to do everything humanly possible to bring peace to this earth. we should be folks desirous of peace. At the same time, we know that as long as sin exists, peace will never come. But we're going to find peace because our Lord will bring peace and we will be with Him. When we come, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations. Should smite the nations. You know that sweet little land called Israel, Jerusalem. They're so small and they're so tiny, and they've got so many enemies. But isn't it wonderful to know that our God is protecting them? And He will not allow, as most of the world desires to annihilate them, to eliminate them, but it will never happen. It will never happen because our God is protecting them. Our God can stop a nuclear bomb as different neighbors to Israel gain nuclear power. And you hear on the news that there's no hope for Israel now unless we would step in to stop it, to protect them. There is one that can step in and stop it, and He will, and we need to know it. And when you're witnessing to somebody and telling somebody about the Lord Jesus and they don't believe it, says, watch Israel. All you have to do is watch Israel. Why are they still in existence? Why are they back in their land again? That's never happened before. How could all these things take place? And they begin to watch. And hopefully through that, God can take His word and penetrate their hearts, and salvation will come. Because of that little nation of Israel. The recalling of the nation of Israel will not take place until this time, the big recall, the major recall, will happen during the tribulation period, during this time. And it's so sad that His chosen, the nation of Israel, has ignored their responsibility. They have missed the Lord Jesus. They have not proclaimed the Messiah. They have not taken the Savior to the world. That's what Israel was to do. So God set him aside, and He gave the church. And now that's been our responsibility for the last 2,000 years, to reach the world. We too have failed. And we're going to come, it's going to come to an end here shortly, and then the nation of Israel will be recalled once again. We need to give out the gospel. We need to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to know that there is not going to be any weapons that can be shown against our Lord and against us as we're coming that's going to have any effect upon us. We know that there is nothing that can happen to the nation of Israel unless God permits it. And we know that He will always hold a remnant. Always hold a remnant. Isn't it something that He has called the Word of God? In John chapter 5, verse 24, and please look that up this afternoon if you would please. The last half of that, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So this very same word, Jesus, the one that brings life to us, is being destroyed by the same word. Those that refuse God's gift will be destroyed by the very word that brings us life. The word brings life to all that believe. How simple is that? That same word brings death to all that refuse it. You can see now why that the devil tries so hard to take apart and destroy the Word of God. We need to beware of any man that takes the Word of God and turns it and twists it to his own liking, to his own religion. Because when we do that, the power of God is gone. he shall rule, the scripture says, with a rod of iron, the middle of verse 15, Revelation 19, 15, rule with a rod of iron. The will of nations is to be ungodly and arrogant. God is a God of whosoever will. If they will not to believe, that's their choice. But I hope that you will to be saved, whosoever will. It's that simple. The last part of that verse of Scripture here, that treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. If you would like look at the old winepresses of this day, you will find that to begin with, the grapes are cut away. They're cut away, but not only are they cut away, but then they're put into the wine press. And then men's feet, women's feet, as they circle in this wine press, what comes out? Red, the juice, picturing the blood that's going to come. The wine press of the wrath of God. God is going to bring death, and the blood is going to flow from the enemy, literally. And the Scripture tells us, bridle deep through the valley. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Judgment will come with a sharp sword, his word, the rod of iron to rule, and the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. And to close with verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You would think that the words would proceed from his mouth and the sword would be to his thigh, wouldn't you? But here we have written on his vesture and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the sword is in his mouth, because it is judgment time. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And if you know Jesus, we will be with him as we come to do this. What a glorious day that's going to be. What a horrible day upon earth for those that do not believe in Jesus. Please, let's be busy at taking the gospel out. As I know, we all want those folks that we know and love to be with us when we come. Because you can hear all the preaching of the love of God. And right today, it is of the whosoever will. God cannot show his love any greater than what he has done. He doesn't force us. He gives us the opportunity, and he gives us everything we need to trust in him. And so if you reject him, it is your own doing. But he loves you so much that he wants you to come to him by your own free will. And if you choose not to, he is also a God of judgment. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for this time together that you've given us with this family. And please take these words and just penetrate our hearts with them. Have us go back this afternoon and look up these references and read them again and again to see, yes, that's exactly what it means. Burden our hearts, dear Lord, for the lost. Bring tears to our eyes of folks that we know and love that refuse you, knowing that this time is coming. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful and a glorious time for us to be raptured and go to heaven and spend 7 years with the Lord and then come back with him and rule and reign for 1,000 years. But let's not be so high-minded that we forget all those that are here that's going to have to go through this time. Let us do everything that's possible to bring them to you, Lord Jesus. We know that our responsibility is to speak the words, and the rest is between you and them. But let us be strong voices for you. If there be anybody here today that doesn't know you, please, that they come today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.